Good morning. It's Monday, July 1st. I'm Kyle Omler with the guru, Chris Bellina, and you're listening to The Blitz. Finally, we're going to recap the past 11 episodes that we've put together, talking about all of the free agent ads and drops and how they impacted each of their teams and how that actually will affect your fantasy team. So we're going to put together here, we have a top 10 list of the free agent or draft pick booms, who we actually think is going to be successful, starting with number 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10 list. Let's go.
This is a shot in the dark. It's not your chalk pick. It's not your brand name. But based on what's happened this offseason, I'm putting A.J. Jenkins number 10. Now you're saying, oh, wait a minute. He wasn't drafted. He wasn't this. But based on what has happened in the offseason, he is going to be a boom in fantasy football this year because you lost Crabtree. Right. You lost Delanie Walker. So I really think A.J. Jenkins is going to be a top 10 boom, unexpected boom, who's going to benefit from an injury.
Anquan Boldin was coming over, and Crabtree goes down. So it was going to be Crabtree, and Boldin was going to benefit from the fact that Crabtree was there. Now Bolden's going to have to absorb all that attention.
I just think it's going to be Jenkins.
And then Jenkins is going to be the guy who benefits then. So if this wouldn't have happened, would you have Boldin in this list then instead?
No, I don't think I would, because, again, I'm not a big fan of wide receivers going to a new team. Again, there's still a little bit of a question mark with Trick. Again, he had a great rookie year, but again, Cordell Stewart syndrome. Let's see this for year two with this type of offense and these quarterbacks before I start saying that anyone that's on that team that he's going to throw to is all of a sudden going to become a superstar.
Well,
so
he was highly touted coming out too, Jenkins, so it's not like he was a bum coming out of college.
No, he was a high draft pick. I think he's part of these booms. You got to look at who benefits not only from injuries, but who benefits from somebody leaving a team or coming to a team? It's not just a matter of who changed teams. I think this is going to be a situation where I really think Jenkins is going to be a big beneficiary from what's gone on in San Francisco.
Number nine.
Dustin Keller. Dustin Keller, fast tight end, is agile like a wide receiver if he stays healthy with a new offense. And, you know, Mike Wallace on the outside and the weapons they brought in and the maturity of Ryan Tannehill. I see Dustin Keller having a humongous year. I think I could see him being in the top 10 tight ends.
Well, this was a guy who predicted he was going to be in the Pro Bowl last year.
He may be a year off.
Himself. Yeah, and also the team was talking him up last year as well. But you got to have a quarterback to throw him the ball, and he didn't have that in New York.
Right. I mean, and you got to have an offense that's committed to throwing the ball and committed to the offense. I mean, he was in a bad situation. Sometimes a change of scenery helps a guy. But this is a guy who was pretty productive in a bad situation when he played last year. I mean, he had the hamstring issues, I think it was, and he was pretty productive when he was in. The problem was the team stunk around him. I mean, I really think he was the best player on that offense when he was on the field, and now he's going to a much better situation with a better quarterback, a good offensive line, good wide receivers. I really could see him having a big breakout boom season changing teams.
I wonder if his blog is going to stop now. He had a food blog because he was in New York and he's just loving all the food. If he's going to continue that down in Miami.
Yeah, could be. You never know.
I mean, I don't like him, though, because his reviews are wrong. He banged on Gray's papaya hot dog. Sorry. Can't do that for you.
Number 8.
I like Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead, especially in a points per reception league. Guy can do it all.
Yeah.
He can run. He's big on third down. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can block. I think this is a weapon San Diego needs. They were hoping Ryan Matthews was going to be the heir apparent and the LT where he can run the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield, be that big-time running back. Well, Ryan Matthews is not the guy. They need to use two players to fix that role. They lost Sproles, and this is going to be finally getting their replacement. So this is going to be the running back, catch the ball out of the backfield, get a good play on third down. We're all third and one, third two. Do a draw play. The guy busted for 15 yards. Again, he's not going to be a 100-yard rusher, two touchdowns every week. He's going to be pretty productive. And with the way that Matthews gets hurt, it wouldn't shock me if there's going to be three or four games in this season where he gets 20 carries. I like what I see out of him.
Yeah, and this is a guy who, for his size, is amazingly durable.
Powerful and very powerful.
This is durable. I mean, how's the guy who's this small get banged around? I saw an episode where he was on YouTube pushing his Woodhead jerseys, and nobody even knew he was an actual NFL football player. He's so small.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, I think he's definitely going to help that offense. He's going to help Phillip Rivers. You wouldn't think it. You think, oh, he left New England to go to San Diego. No. He's going to be utilized even more in San Diego. I look for big things out of Danny Woodhead.
Number 7.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I love him.
He's going to be their number 2 receiver on that team. And there's talk he's going to be the starting running back. He's going to be a 3-down back. Now, I don't see it because of, you know, he just not doesn't look it to be that durable
Who's
running
gonna
back.
Who's going to take his place?
I like Joyke Bell.
Yeah.
Just to spell him. I think Joyke Bell was very productive last year.
Yeah, he's actually bypassed LeSure, I've heard.
I think so. So I really think this is a good opportunity, a good spot for Reggie Bush, where offenses aren't going to key on him. When he's on the field, you can't because you got Megatron out there. If he stays healthy, 80 receptions easily. Could be close to 900 to 1,000 yards receiving, 700-800 yards rushing. I don't see him getting a lot of carries. But this is a guy who's going to get, you know, 7-8 touchdowns, most of them through the air. You're going to look at a guy who's going to go within the 4th or 5th round, great offense to go on, tons of weapons around them. Couldn't ask for a better situation for Reggie Bush.
I love Reggie Bush this year. Love him. He is in a perfect situation. This team didn't run the ball last year anyway, so what's the difference if they bring in a guy who's going to be receiving the ball. He's in a perfect situation. The guy's going to catch a lot of balls kind of backfield. That's what you want to have out of him. He is going to get the carries. He will be in there on 3 downs. I have no doubts about that because I've seen the other running backs. I do think that Joyke Bell, though, I do think he will come in and spell him, and I think the Wizinator might be moving on soon. So.
I agree.
Number 6.
The only rookie that I'm going to put in, and the rookie that's going to have the biggest impact is Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers. I think this guy has everything the Pittsburgh Steelers need. I think he's a 3-down back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run for power. They'll probably spell him on the goal line with your Isaac Redman or Jonathan Dwyer. But when they fail 1 or 2 times or fumble or don't get the job done, it'll be his to have. And he will be a 3-down back. Again, they're going to run the ball a little bit more. So, you know, when you say 3-down back, you're not talking a guy getting 35 carries like you would 15 years ago, but potentially 25, 30 receptions, which is something very unusual out of a Pittsburgh Steelers back. I think this guy is going to be in the top 10, if healthy, in running backs. And if they name him the clear-cut starter out of the gate, he's in the top 3 rounds, early 3rd round, the latest this guy will be drafted.
More and more I hear, the more and more I like about this guy, and the less I like about some of the other rookie running backs. This guy is getting a clearer picture in Pittsburgh while other players seem to be getting a little bit muddier.
Well, right, and the thing is about this guy, he's a big guy, but he's not one of them bruising backs. He's versatile. He's nimble. He can catch the ball. Everyone got all this guy. He doesn't have breakaway speed. He's a big guy. You don't really need breakaway speed. You need a guy who can get you the first down when you need it. You need a guy who can give you a running game, okay? You don't need a guy who's going to take it to house every single play. Because you know what? Willie Parker had breakaway speed, and I don't want no part of that guy. So you know what I'm saying? Breakaway speed is overrated. You only get 2 or 3 of those a season, maybe a career. I like what I see out of Le'Veon Bell. I look at him. If he's named to start out of the gate, he will be, at worst, an early 3rd-round pick. And that's a lot to say for a rookie, and he may be the first rookie off the board in any draft this year.
Number 5.
Number 5 has got to be the biggest no-brainer on this entire list right now.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of breaks the mold of what I say about wide receivers going to new teams, but it's going Peyton Manning's thrown to you. And you got 2 other wide receivers who took that next step to the next level. And I think the fact that there really isn't a tight end worthy on that team, Welker's going to get a lot of those potential tight end catches. Dallas Clark was super productive in the Peyton Manning offense. Look for Wes Welker to have probably double that production, but fill that role for Peyton Manning. The short to medium range passes, good in the end zone. I don't see 100 catches, but I see 80 catches, 1,200 yards, 10 to 12 touchdowns. If you have any of the Denver tight ends, their production is going to be really low because a lot of those catches they were getting is going to go to Wes Welker. And I also think it's going to improve the two receivers on the outside. There's definitely going to be a lot of production of Wes Welker, a no-brainer at number five.
Number four.
And then you just continue your thread at number four with Percy Harvin. Are you feeling okay?
You know, this is when I thought I was going to drop him a little lower, and I was going to move Reggie Bush up a little higher, but the injury factor, the more I started thinking about it, this guy can be used in so many different ways. So you can get production from so many different places. He can return kicks. He can return punts. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball. He can do the option. If you're in a league where you get combined yards, return yards, all that type of production or points for your league, I was leaning more towards those type leagues where he will be ultra productive. So I really think a lot of all-purpose yards, and if you're in a league where you get all-purpose yards, he's going to be humongous. So I really think this is going to be against my normal, I guess, way of thought with receivers going to a new team, but he's a lot more than just a wide receiver. He brings such dimensions to offenses. And I think Pete Carroll's really going to find
that's what I was going to say. Pete Carroll has got, he had to be jumping up and down when he got this guy signed.
Look,
he probably
for what,
could not believe that he actually was coming there.
Well, when you look at what Reggie Bush did at USC, and those are the type of plays they're going to run with Percy Harvin in Seattle.
Number three.
Steven Jackson rolls out of bed and gets 1,000 yards. Durable back. He gives Atlanta a humongous upgrade at running back, and it really diversifies their offense.
Yes.
And I'll explain why. When Michael Turner was in, you knew they were running the ball. They weren't throwing to him either. So it was almost like if Michael Turner was in and they decided to run, it was one less person you had to worry about on defense. But Steven Jackson could catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball like a workhorse. He can run the ball like a scat back. He can run the ball like a power back and get the short yards and the touchdowns. He is a real versatile back where before Atlanta had to have two people to fill that role with Jarquez Rogers and Michael Turner. They get it all rolled into one running back. When Michael Turner was in, there was a really good chance he was going to get the ball at the goal line. Where now they may do play action with Steven Jackson or even throw to Steven Jackson out of the backfield in short yardage. I look for 1,400 yards rushing from this guy. I really think they're going to focus on him. 13 to 15 touchdowns, a resurgence of this guy's career. I look for another 30 to 40 catches, 300, 400 yards. This is going to be a top five fantasy running back.
Number two.
One of the biggest unmentioned signings of the year who's going to have an amazing impact for his team, and that's Carson Palmer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Carson Palmer helps fantasy football across the board.
Yes.
It's going to make Fitzgerald back into the top late first round, early second round. It's going to elevate Andre Roberts. It's going to elevate Michael Floyd. Plus, he's going to be productive. I mean, he's somebody who could be a top 10, top 12 quarterback. Quarterback guru as a head coach. He's out of a terrible situation he had in Oakland, although productive.
Yeah, still productive up there even with a receiving core that was half as good as this.
Well, right, and it got to the point where he just wasn't on the same page with a lot of these wide receivers because they were young and inexperienced, so it hurt his production in a way. You know, a little bit more interceptions if you'd like to see.
And that's where all the fantasy owners are out there. That's what they remember. They all have very short memories. They're all going to realize Carson Palmer, Oakland, terrible. That's what they think.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be – he's someone who's going to be somebody's backup. And I'll tell you, if he's your backup and you drafted, say, Matthew Stafford, you can go to distance with a Carson Palmer. If he looks like he's productive, and trade a Matthew Stafford and get yourself some high-end running backs or wide receivers or fill a need that, by trading a Stafford. You may not want to take a risk with him being your number one quarterback, but get him early enough as your number two. And if you have already drafted a stud quarterback – because that gives you trade bait, whether you want to trade him or you want to trade your other guy. You got to think long term.
That's the shark move right there, exactly. If you had somebody like a Stafford and you got Palmer, Palmer could easily end up taking you to the title and you trade Stafford for somebody else.
Or vice versa. Just trade Carson Palmer and get a Steven Jackson or a Wes Welker or a Reggie Bush for a team that may have three or four running backs. It can only play two or three or whatever the situation is. He's that quarterback who's not quite going to be a starter, but it's going to be one of the first backups taken unless somebody goes the route where they're just going to take a quarterback 8th, 9th, 10th round, which that's the quarterback to go for if that's the case.
If that's you, you do that, exactly. Yeah. Number one, the biggest shocker on the board, and who you think is going to be the biggest surprise boom this year.
Number one.
Alex Smith. Yes, no, Alex Smith, the quarterback. Let me read. Not the tight end. I just think he is stepping into the perfect situation. No pressure. One of the best offensive minds in football. Weapons all around him, upside down, inside and out. Got a great offensive line. Great running back in Jamaal Charles.
Good defense.
Good defense, which is going to give you the ball in good field position, which is good. I mean, you're not going to, you know, you're going to get some three and outs, and you get to, you know, shorter fields. You got Dwayne Bowe, who 2-3 years ago was probably the best fantasy football wide receiver. If you look at the numbers, not 2-3 years ago, he was one of the top three. So now you're going to get a rejuvenated, re-energized, healthy Dwayne Bowe. You bring in Donnie Avery. I think you're going to get something out of Jonathan Baldwin. You got Anthony Fasano coming in. You got Tony Maiocchi. So you got a lot. Jamaal Charles catching the ball out of the backfield. You have a ton of weapons and a coach who likes his quarterback to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Plus,
and make very good safe throws, too.
Right.
He's high not asking. Yeah, high percentage.
And he's mobile. Yeah. Everyone forgets Alex Smith gets on the ball. So he will get 5 rushing touchdowns to go to his 25, upper 20s maybe, throwing touchdowns with probably around 10 interceptions.
I'm going to trade for this guy. I am. Not in our league because nobody will give him up, but in another league that I end up being in, I'm going to get him.
I think he really has. He's another one with Carson Palmer. You may not take him as your number one guy, but you take him, and if he's sitting behind Cam Newton or he's sitting behind a Tony Romo on your team, you got trade bait to upgrade to someone who doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, how good would it be if you get Aaron Rodgers with the first pick overall and you're able to get Alex Smith, and Alex Smith's as productive, and you trade away an Aaron Rodgers to get yourself stud running back, stud wide receiver to really round off your team and get you to the bowl.
Well, there you have it, guys. That is our top 10 booms that we feel from the free agent moves and drafts. Follow that list. Go back. Listen to it again because there was a lot of effort put into that, and we, I think, have some very solid reasoning behind what was going on here. For the Blitz, I am Kyle Omler. That was Chris Bellina, the guru. Thanks for listening, guys.